Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. In just a few minutes, we'll have Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and host of the Shout podcast, Matt Perino, to join us to talk a little bit more on the Bills offseason and really how the season ended as a whole. We've also been talking a lot today, the Bills offseason need. Which position group is the biggest need? Is it wide receiver? Is it offensive lineman? We're still taking your calls at 803-0550. And is it another position as well? I mean, we're very zeroed in on the offense, but there's a very strong likelihood that both Jordan Poyer and Tremaine Edmonds could not be on this roster next year. So does linebacker, does safety jump into that discussion? A lot of storylines going into this offseason, and the Bills really don't have a ton of salary cap, so it could be, I think it's going to be very interesting, but it could be a very long and painful offseason as well. But on the West Her Hotline, Matt Perino, again, of Syracuse.com, Bills beat reporter and host of the Shout podcast, joins the show. Matt, thank you so much. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, we're all freezing out here, and I feel like, you know, just the sense of brotherhood of, like, we can all just hang out inside, talk about sports instead of the, you know, negative 4-degree weather outside. That just, man, I need summer, man. I want the Bills season, but I need, like, 85-degree days. I can't keep doing this.
Oh, man, I'm right there with you. I teach at UB, and I was walking from building to building the other night, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this campus. It's beautiful. I love it in September, and I love it in May. And all those months in between, it's like just freezing. And I lived in Vegas for 5 years, obviously, so I'm right there with you, man. I'd love for some heat.
I've been to Vegas once in my life, and I thought the dry heat would be the death of me. Not that bad. Mm-hmm. It's the humidity of the South that can give people dry heat. I think it's very doable. It's very, very doable.
100%. And you know what it is? Like, when you feel the biting cold, like, my wife will disagree with me on this, but when you feel the biting cold of winters here versus, like, 2 months of just, like, walking out into 110 degrees, the pain is greater in the cold. I mean, I will say that until I die.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, Matt, I did bring you on today, though. I don't want to necessarily open up – they're kind of fresh wounds, but – the Bills did get blown out in the divisional round. To a lot of people, it feels like the Bills are taking a bit of a step back. Their record was better this year compared to last year, 11-6, the year prior, 13-3 this year. But what was your biggest takeaway from this Bills season? Was it actually a step back? Is this team just kind of stagnating, or are you in more of a positive camp going forward?
I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty neutral. I think that there's a lot of things to like still about this organization, the leadership in place, the players that they have. I mean, you're going to have a pivot this year, right? It's been building to this season. And we felt at the beginning of the year, when you started talking about the Super Bowl window and the pressure that came along with the expectations, part of that pressure is you only get the luxury of that salary number on Josh Allen for so long. I mean, what was it? Between 12 and 16 this year, it's going to balloon up to somewhere in the 30s. And then before long, you're looking at 40. I think the highest cap hit he'll have is in 25, I believe, which is around $50 million. And that just changes the game for Brandon Bean and how he is able to accumulate talent. And listen, it's possible. Like, we're watching a story unfold in Kansas City this season with a quarterback, you know, in his contract, now the high end of the contract, where they're finding success, and part of that success comes by drafting good players. And Kansas City, this last game in the championship game against Cincinnati, they got contributions from their rookies that I just don't necessarily know that the Bills got from theirs against the Bengals the week prior. So I think it's just finding a renewed vision, you know, collectively, what worked, what didn't, what coaches worked, what coaches didn't, and coming up with a new game plan and moving forward. But at the end of the day, listen, there's a lot of overreaction I've noticed over the last couple of weeks because you're right. Like, you haven't advanced the story at all, right? Like, from the previous – you wanted to turn the page from the 13 seconds. You wanted a new chapter written, and you're going home as a Bills fan and a Bills player and coach at the same exact spot you were a year ago. But you still have the quarterback, which is the most important thing in this league. I don't care if they're getting paid $50 million or if they're on a rookie deal. That's the most important thing. And I do think that five playoff appearances in 6 years, that there's something to that. And, you know, not to be too long-winded, but Andy Reid's playing in the championship game this year or this week, this next week with Kansas City, and he had to get fired in Philadelphia after a couple of trips before finally figuring out in his next stop. And people wonder, well, is that going to be the story with Sean McDermott? Is it never going to materialize in Buffalo? And I think it's about learning, period. And when that happens and how it happens, it's just that it does happen. And so that's the big piece of it, too. Can Sean McDermott learn from the failures over the last couple of years and now spin it into the future and figure out some answers long term?
You mentioned the rookie class for the Kansas City Chiefs and how they're really getting some pretty good production out of those guys, especially now late in the playoffs. How do you feel about this Bills rookie class? You know, not even just Kyer Elam and James Cook right at the top, but really across the board. How have you felt about this year? Because that's also become a talking point of the recent draft classes from Brandon Bean, not necessarily producing a ton of named talent, I guess. You know, the last Pro Bowler they drafted is Wyatt Teller. So how do you feel about this crop and how maybe their future looks?
I don't think we know enough about them, and I place the blame for that on, you know, both parties. You know, the people that drafted these players and the people that were tasked with developing them. There was a disconnect, obviously, between – listen, I guess just to start by saying I understand that, you know, developing rookies, they come in all shapes and sizes. There's different paths to the final version or a starting version of that player. But I just don't know if when they selected Kyer Elam, if Sean McDermott got the message that, all right, this is going to be – we're spending a first-round draft pick on this guy. This is going to be your starting cornerback opposite Trey White, or until Trey White gets back, he's going to be on one side. And, you know, this organization has seen these stories play out before with their draft picks. I thought that they, in a lot of ways, ruined Cody Ford with the way that they drafted him. They traded up for him, and then they said, okay, we think he's a tackle. And then you get to camp and they're like, well, we still like him as a tackle, but he's not good enough to be an every down tackle. So we're going to split with Ty and Secchi and we're just going to figure things out as we go. And we saw the results of that. He never got comfortable in a certain spot. So that's got to be a lesson learned. And this whole, like, I get it. You like Christian Benford, but you drafted Kyer Elam in the first round. He needed season so that he's ready for come playoff time. And I just don't think that he got it. So I like James Cook. They finally figured out things with him late in the season. But what was the Terrell Bernard pick? What was the vision for that? Is it like we're going to spend a third-round draft pick knowing that we can't pay Milano and Tremaine Edmonds long-term and this is going to be the answer? Well, he didn't look like the answer in the one game that he got to play, and he looked so unprepared that now it creates questions about can he be the guy if you do move on from Edmonds or you do decide in a season or two to move on from Milano? And or do you have to now go and get another player? So I think that sometimes when in drafts, you just want to see the people that are making the picks find answers. And I think we have more questions about this draft class than anything.
Speaking on that, I posed the question, and we've been talking about it all morning, really, of just like, what is the biggest need, offensive line or wide receiver? But I think, like, you rightly pointed out, like, I think there's also just got to be a plan involved of, like, what comes next for the Bills. Like, I mean, they could have a need, but really, is this group kind of having to look themselves in the mirror a little bit now with essentially, like you said, like the story is not progressing? Does this group, Brandon Bean, I think very specifically here, do they have to look themselves in the mirror and go, all right, we've got to maybe change our process here and how everything's going?
Yeah, I think that he does a really good job of that. I'll give Brandon a lot of credit, and I don't begrudge him or fault him for the approach that they've taken. And I think that they've had some good drafts. I've given them really good grades. I liked everything that I heard about Bernard when they drafted him, why they did, where they did, all that kind of stuff. But then the plan just doesn't, seem to be crystallized right now. So they have to figure out a way, okay, what are our top three or four needs, okay? Where are we going to get them? We can't do it in free agency because we don't have enough money. So we have to make sure that there's this guy that we could come in here and we have a plan for playing him and developing him to have an impact this season, because I think Sean McDermott said it best a couple weeks ago. I think it was before the Bears game or maybe the Dolphins game when he said, the NFL is different now. You need to draft rookies, and because of depending on where you are in your build, you got to be ready to play your rookies in year one, like Kansas City has done. And to do that, you got to play them, and you got to get them ready to play. And maybe the idea was that Benford was going to be somebody that, started games for them and they could trust in big spots. But if that's the case, what are you doing with Elam? And was he that much better than Kyer Elam, Christian Benford, that is, and that was the reason that you went that direction? So I just think across the board, they have to do a really good job of self-scouting their entire operation and how they're developing guys, and then reassess, and do they have the right people in place? Like, I get it. Von Miller goes out, and that is a big piece of your defensive line. You spend a lot of money to affect the quarterback in that way, and I think it's only so fair to judge what that looked like down the stretch without Miller. But you also spent a ton of draft capital on the edge, and it just didn't seem like any of those guys had the kind of impact in the playoffs that you needed. So you're going to have to reassess that too, because if Epinesa and Basham aren't part of your long-term future at that spot, you might have to actually look at drafting another edge rusher. Could you? Probably not in the first round. Let's give Bills Mafia a break and a deep breath and relax. I'm not predicting anything crazy like that, like Mel Kiper did in his mock draft, but that might be a position where they continue to evaluate and try to add more talent.
Going to the defense as well. I mean, you mentioned the potential that there really could be a need at the defensive line. I'm not going to lie. I kind of started squeezing the table a little bit harder. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, Matt, please don't do this to me. But the two names in free agency for the Bills, and really one of them has had an exceptional season on a contract year, Tremaine Edmonds and Jordan Poyer. Do you expect either of them to be back? Do you think the Bills maybe prefer to bring one back if they do? Or are they really in a tight situation cap-wise that they may have to let both walk just to kind of keep everything on the books looking good?
I think Edmonds, I think they're gonna move mountains to try to come up with a deal that's similar to Milano, right? Where it's maybe a little bit less than he can get on the open market, but it gives him that new contract. And who knows? Depending on who you talk to, I think I was listening to Mike Gennetti from SpotTrack.com on one of his recent podcasts, and he said that he doesn't know if Edmonds is going to have the same value that maybe he thinks when he hits the open market. He's not going to get a Roquan Smith deal, Shaq Leonard deal on the open market. And if that's the case, why not stay in Buffalo where he's comfortable, he knows the system, for a similar deal that maybe he can get elsewhere? Or maybe somebody's just going to break him off. But I think you do let him go out, figure out what his value is, and then reassess and try to have that conversation. And if you have to move on, you have to move on. But you're right. You're going to have to start making really hard decisions. I think Jordan Poyer is going to have a market, and it's going to be a market that's too high for the Bills. But I said that in previous years. I think it was the Milano deal was probably the most recent one, and then they ended up re-signing Darrell Williams and John Feliciano as well, who I thought might be gone in that mix. And so Brandon Bean does a really good job. The guys that he wants to keep, he usually figures out a way to make take his best swing. But honestly, I think Edmonds is more likely, and I think that it's going to be a challenge for both. Because if you start restructuring a ton of deals, right? I started thinking long and hard about this Josh Allen restructure. And it's going to add, if you add whatever it is, $20-ish million in cap with a restructure by converting this year's salary, you got to add about $4 or $5 million in cap hit to the next 4 or 5 seasons. And that's something you could consider with all these other deals that they got to figure out over the next couple of years. So there's so much that goes into it. We're just kind of scratching the surface of what the cap is going to look like and all that kind of stuff. But I think Edmonds should be a priority.
some other guys, they're not necessarily up for deals this year, but to me, two pieces, one on the offense, one on the defense, a lot of people rejected them to take big leaps this year, that being Gabe Davis and Ed Oliver. I would say almost both of them were kind of disappointments, and somewhat, at least it felt like just watching the games and not really doing a ton of deep study. It kind of felt like consistency was the issue. How do you feel about both of those guys and maybe their long-term future with the Bills?
You know, I think that actually it might be a best-case scenario just to flip the positive spin on Gabe Davis. Like, if he had a huge season, right, and he put up, like, Mike Williams numbers, and you're looking at an extension here in the next 12 months of like 3 years, $60 million. That is a huge chunk for your wide receiver too. So I think that if he kind of takes a step back this past season and now maybe you view him in more of that wide receiver three role, and he has some big games, you know, we've seen the upside from Gabe Davis, but you're able to go out and either draft a wide receiver two and get it so that you have somebody on a rookie contract, or you go out on the free agent market. And there are some guys that I think are really super interesting. I'm looking at a guy like DJ Chark out of Detroit, who I think, you know, he's got speed. He reminds me in a lot of ways of like what Marvis Valdes-Scantling did for Kansas City. He wasn't a weekly difference maker, but in a big game, in a big spot, he's a veteran receiver that made big plays in the AFC title game. And I think that the Bills need more speed. They need a downfield threat. You pay $10 million a year to go out and get Chark. Maybe you pay $2 million a year, $3 million a year on a short-term deal and go get a Paris Campbell. And then that allows Gabriel Davis, it takes the pressure off him a little bit. And then from a statistical perspective, you don't have to pay him so much, and it kind of fits maybe more into that big picture cap situation. Oliver, dude, that's a conundrum, man, because I'm an Oliver fan. I like what he does. For the most part, on a week-to-week basis, you see him taking on double teams, even at his size. He has been really good against the run this year, and at times he's been a wrecker, but it hasn't been enough. So are you willing to pay what the market value is going to be for an interior defensive lineman? I don't know if there's the money for that. I don't know if he's done enough to earn that. So now you're in a situation where he's back on that fifth year, and then you kind of figure it out. I almost wonder if the Bills in those inner circle conversations that we were talking about, if they land on a spot with Oliver where there's so much meat left on the bone that you're concerned about him ever fulfilling what you drafted him to be, if maybe he's not a trade candidate and maybe you try to bring in a receiver, second or third year receiver, that fills that wide receiver two role, and you don't have to draft somebody and you don't have to pay somebody as a free agent.
Looking around the rest of the AFC East, the Dolphins, it initially seemed to take a huge step forward, but injuries and stuff like that really kind of brought them back. But looking around that division, the Jets, to me, for the second offseason in a row, seem like the big players that could make a huge jump. Do you, if they get a guy like an Aaron Rodgers or even a step below in a Derek Carr, is there a real potential there that the Bills could be staring in the face of two teams that could take the AFC East from them?
Yeah, because they're not going to be the same team. And if they don't find impact players in the draft and they're not able to spend in free agency, I mean, that's how both teams, the Dolphins and the Jets, part of, you know, the reason they're so good. And they paid on some draft picks, don't get me wrong. But you look at some of the premier players they've brought in as free agents the last couple of years, especially on the lines, that's how you do it. And the Bills have done that to a degree, but those assets – they're already in-house, and they're not going to be able to bring any of those guys in. So now it's about, can you hit on draft picks at impact premier positions? Kyer Elam and Sauce Gardner, it feels like there's, you know, a world between where they're at in their careers. And so, I don't know. There's just like a lot of question marks about what this roster is even going to look like. And I thought the Jets were, you know, a competent quarterback away from really putting pressure on the Bills down the stretch. Who knows? They win that second game, and they win some more games, and they finish at about 11 or 12 wins, what that looks like at the end of the year. So, yeah, I think that's a fair worry to have if you're a Bills fan.
On the Wester Hotline, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and host of the Shout podcast, Matt Parrino. Matt, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Super Bowl. Kansas City, Philadelphia. Philadelphia all year seemingly had to answer questions of, was it a soft schedule? Are they actually this good? Kansas City seemingly came into this year with a ton of questions just because maybe people wanted them to fall off, but ultimately they both find themselves in this game. Who do you like here? I think Philadelphia still sits at about a 2.5-point favorite. Who do you like next Sunday?
I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes in this spot. I mean, I love Jalen Hurts. I love what he's done. He's fun to watch play. I think he can affect the game, you know, in multiple ways. But I think that 2 weeks is going to allow Patrick Mahomes to, you know, figure out what's going on with that ankle, probably get it to a better place, and then, you know, go out there against the Philadelphia defense. They have 2 weeks to prepare for. He's just seen more in this league. So I love the way that Chris Jones is playing, too. So that's going to be a really fun matchup against what I think is one of the strengths of the Eagles up front. But I'm picking Patrick Mahomes until somebody beats him this season. I'm not picking against him.
Before I let you go, Matt, let the people know where they can find you, what you got coming up. I know it's the off season. Do you got any fun vacation plans coming up? I know it's cold here, but with the off season, you know, you never know.
No, I don't think I got any awesome vacation plans. We went to Disney last year, and I think we're going to probably go to Disney again next year. But we'll go to some baseball games once that starts. We'd love to go to Pittsburgh, Cleveland. We actually got a summer trip. We're going to Toronto for a concert, so nothing crazy. But you can find all my work. Follow me at Matt Perino on Twitter. That's where everything appears. The Shout Podcast is live every Wednesday. This week coming up, we have former Buffalo Bills tight end Lee Smith to kind of talk about everything that went on this past year in Buffalo. He's obviously still pretty close to it. He knows a lot of guys, spends a lot of time with them, so it should be a good episode.
Fantastic. Matt, thank you so much for joining me, especially on your weekend. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and I hope to talk again soon.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
You too. That was, again, Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com, and again, host of the Shout Podcast. I'm a big Disney guy. I'm glad he said he went to Disney trips, you know, two trips coming up, one coming up, one he did. Corey, I was telling you in the break, man, I got a family, like, vacation meeting coming up.
No.
No.
Hey, listen, we're going on vacation, so will the secretary please read the minutes from the last meeting? Absolutely. What are you doing?
You made a joke about that, but that's going to happen. Someone's going to make that joke, and it's going to happen.
You know what? Well, sir, as per my previous email about relaxing.
No, you can't. It's a Disney vacation. Disney vacations are always like a little bit like a step above.
Perverse behavior.
Perverse behavior.
It's absolutely disgusting.
We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to continue on our topic with the Buffalo Bills. We might also hit some hockey. The Sabres, their next game's not till next Saturday when they take on the Calgary Flames. And, of course, we are still taking your calls at 803-0550. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary has the day off. I'm Zach Jones along with Corey Griswold, and you're listening to WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. About a half hour left here as we wrap up our weekend programming here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you. Nate Geary has the day off. I'm hanging out with Corey Griswold here
talking Bills football.
Gambling in the breaks.
Oh, absolutely. I'm, dude, live betting college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back, baby.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I've told you, and I think everyone that I work with knows, I'm a huge college basketball junkie, the whole thing. And it's because the Sabres are entertaining and good, like my 7 o'clock weekday nights gone out the window. Like, I'm watching the Sabres. And now that they're off a little bit and we're getting closer to the conference tournaments, and that's for me as well. March Madness begins when, like, the Ivy League tournament starts, okay? Like,
okay. Colgate.
We get wild. Yeah. Right. We get wild. But, like, Virginia Tech is going to absolutely be the death of me.
I don't know any Virginia Tech fans who are happy. We have one in the building.
Oh, we have one, and he is not happy.
Never
ever
happy.
Goes to all of the games for football.
And never once experiences joy.
Not once. I mean, I'm a Texas fan, so I can't say anything. Like, every year, I'm like, it's our year, baby, we're back! And, like, week three happens. So
we love toxic relationships. We love...
I only look for red flags.
That's right.
Green flags are for cowards and losers.
That's right.
Red flags means the relationship's going to be super exciting. We're going to go to the phones real quick. We've got Jay calling in. Jay, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday, man. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, boys. It's funny listening to you talk about college basketball real quick. I'm going to be 50 next month, and back in my early 20s, college basketball was my life. And now listening to you talk, I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So aging sucks. I just want to say that. Thinking of the Bills and what Matt Parrino was saying, I'm hoping you might talk me off the ledge real quick here. I'm going into the season feeling very, very uneasy. I think a lot of us are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm feeling very discouraged. And I haven't used that word in a while with this organization, with Bean and McDermott. And part of me, you know, I think about the season and I think about the draft picks that we had and how they kind of aren't hitting. Like, we see Elam in and out. We see Elam as a healthy scratch. We see Basham not around, then he's all of a sudden starting all the time because you know Miller's out, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Russo's in and out. I mean, I see our offense kind of struggling. I look at the Chiefs game last week. The very first play of the game, Mahomes throws a swing pass to their rookie running back. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. I look at our offense, I look at our defense, and I'm just feeling like I got my hands kind of up in the air, kind of pulling the George Costanza, like, I don't know what's going on here. I know we got Josh Allen and we can always play hero ball, but that can only get you so far. So I don't know. I don't know what I should think. I know what I want to think, but it's I'm just feeling so frustrated and wondering, am I already falling behind other teams already? And I don't know where I'm going to fall on this. So I'm going to let it play through, but maybe you can give me some words of encouragement, boys.
Yeah, Jay, absolutely. Amen. Thank you for the call. I think
I have no words of encouragement.
You're like, no, you're absolutely right. I think for me, like, I think discouraged is probably the right way to look at it. Because of how the season ended, you probably should be discouraged. I would kind of be surprised if a lot of fans left that game and went, got them right where we want them, baby. We're fine. We are good. Probably very few, if any, fans did
walking
that.
Walking out of Highmark Stadium on that day, just rubbing their hands together. It was like, nah, everything according to plan, boys.
Yep, everything is exactly where we want it. I think a big thing, though, and Matt brought it up, is this coaching staff, the front office, they're learning. And you're right. I mean, like, when you look at the Chiefs, their rookies were involved very early on. You talked about their rookie running back, Isaiah Pacheco. We were hearing his name in preseason of somebody that should be drafted high in fantasy leagues because of how often they were using him in training camp practices. Sky Moore was a big name a lot of people loved coming out into the draft. The Chiefs get him in the second round. I think the Bills do have to learn. That was my biggest frustration with this whole year, was that it seemed like the Bills had this apprehension of using their rookies and really giving them serious roles. Because I think to them, they thought, we're in the Super Bowl window. We can't let the young guys, you know, go in there and potentially kill us. Honestly, it kind of fits the same strategy they used for their defense, which is bend, don't break, don't let them beat us over the top, and you kind of let, like, the death by a thousand cuts happen. I think the same thing happened with the team overall in terms of their rookies. Khalil Shakir, to me, should have been the starting slot receiver by, like, week six. But I think they were terrified of a rookie jumping in that they didn't want to do it. James Cook, kind of the same thing. Me and Corey joked about it earlier, but, like, pass blocking. He wasn't the greatest pass blocker in the world, so they kept Singletary, kept giving him number one reps, when it really should have been a split backfield probably from the start of the season. I think realistically, you have Josh Allen. Your window is still very much alive. I know Bills fans do get frustrated with Sean McDermott. I've heard a lot of people start comparing him to Marty Schottenheimer. I wouldn't go that far. You have a very, very good coach, top 10 in the league. You have a top three quarterback in football, been to some people top five. You're going to be all right. And I think as well, the last 2 years have shown this group, I think number one, they cannot keep playing scared on defense. And number two, and I hope this is a thing, they've looked around the rest of the league and saw, you can play your rookies. And oftentimes you should. There's less wear and tear in their body. And ultimately, this is going to sound bad, they're cheap labor. They are guys that should absolutely...
It does sound terrible.
It
you
sounds
right.
terrible.
You're
like,
absolutely correct. Sounds terrible.
But ultimately, you're getting these guys who should be starters or filling holes on your roster at not the price that they should be. It's like they're coming in and you, let's say James Cook comes in and I'm saying he should have been near running back one. He shouldn't be making, you know, the contract he had in the second round. He should be making probably $5, $6 million a year. Or you look at Khalil Shakir. I'm having him as a starting slot receiver come week six. He should be making probably $3, $4, $5 million a year. He was a fifth round pick. He won't be making that. They've got to start doing that. And I think especially because where they're at in terms of the cap space. Yes, they can rework Josh Allen's contract and maybe free up. I've seen numbers like $20 million, but that's not going to happen every year, especially because that pushes the cap back just 3-4 years, and you're ultimately going to have the same problem. I hope this coaching staff has learned. But as I've been saying, and it's not necessarily in a negative sense, it's just more like a, you know, don't have to hold your breath too long. If they really aren't learning, they will be gone. You're in a window with a guy of the caliber of Josh Allen. If they really aren't learning, don't worry, you're not going to have to wait till Allen's 30 before he gets a new coach. If it's truly as negative as it is, you won't have to wait that long because he is that good. He is one of the faces of the league. It's not like a Matthew Stafford who, I'm just using Matt because big arm, went to Detroit and seemingly could never get help. Matthew Stafford was never a face of the league. He was never a high-value player for the league to really market. Allen absolutely is. Just like how many primetime games the Bills play. I know. I worked all of them. My sleep schedule was messed up to hell because of it. I was not a fan. But I think that's where, like, I'm interested in this offseason. It could go bad, but I'm not in this awful zone because if it goes poorly, changes will be made. I would have liked maybe a coordinator to lose their position. I think maybe it was time to move on from Leslie Frazier just to get a new voice in there. Maybe someone to challenge McDermott because McDermott and Frazier do run a very similar defense. A lot of zone, a lot of cushion, and just don't get beat over the top. I think it would have been good for the Bills to maybe change that identity up just to kind of just to change things up to get a new voice in there, especially because you're ultimately going to lose a lot of pieces. There is a strong potential here that Tremaine Edmonds and Jordan Poyer are not with the Bills. But in terms of like other teams passing you, I wouldn't be that worried about it. The Chiefs did a really, really good job of changing their identity from big plays and hitting people over the top with Tyreek Hill to changing it to more of a possession, death by a thousand cuts, just moving down the field, you know, effortlessly, really. But the Bengals, there's already reports out that T. Higgins wants wide receiver one money, and he should, and that they may have to trade him to do so. If they lose Higgins, that is a massive hit to them. And the Bengals themselves, notoriously, are a very, very cheap organization. They do not pay their players often. As well, not all these teams who are seemingly on the rise will actually be on the rise. Look at the Chargers. You could be the Chargers, who have a great young quarterback in Justin Herbert, and yet they've made the playoffs once. And they had a huge, almost historic letdown in their game against Jacksonville. Up, what was it, 27-0, and they lose? I mean, like, that just cannot happen. Now, with this ultimately being said, though, I do understand where people are upset. I was upset. It's you know, it's been about 2 weeks. So for me, I'm having this little bit of like, all right, like, things have settled. I'm starting to look at the draft. I've already openly said it today. I don't think the offensive line needs to change that much. I think maybe one or two pieces. And with guards, you can get them in the second, third, fourth round, and they can be starters for you. And that's not just because of necessity. It's just because typically guards essentially aren't typically high-end first-round picks. You can be all right. You're all right. You can kind of wait a little bit on them. Wide receiver, I'm less so on. I want high-end talent there. I think that's been a real miss from Bean of not allocating high-end resources outside of the Stephon Diggs trade to the wide receiver position. He's never taken a receiver in the top three rounds of the draft. I think that does have to change. But I'm hoping this Bills group does learn. With that being said, though, and I know a lot of people are going to feel this way, they didn't learn from 13 seconds, and you would be right. However, and kind of with the same thing of my desperation point, I get worried with desperation when you don't actively try to confront it, when you sit back and decide, nope, we're fine. And that might be what they're doing. Bringing everyone back, really only firing the safeties coach. But I think now this year, they could be pushed into a corner of, we need to be better. The Bills could ultimately finish with the exact same record as this year. Instead of 13-3, they would play the extra game, maybe 14-3 or 13-4. But I think it was the feel and how the Bills looked to end the season, really the second half of the season, that has put a lot of people down. Even the Miami Dolphins game was such a drag to get through. That the first half of that game, or really the first quarter of the game, felt like they're just going to run through them. I think it was, what, 17-0, Corey, right? Like 17-0 like for the first like quarter. It looked like it was going to be a breeze. And then the rest of the game happened. But there's not always this like guarantee that even the other AFC teams are definitely going to keep taking these steps forward. Jacksonville is a team that I think could be a really big threat next year. What if they're not? What if they don't take that step from 9-8 playoff win to all of a sudden, you know, 12-5 and they're off and running? There's a very real chance that that happens, that they're just not going to take a huge step forward. I still think Josh Allen is a top three quarterback in the league. I think McDermott, because of what this team went through this year, is a very, very good coach. I've been known to say, and I've seen people around the NFL circle say this too, head coaches are more, they're there to motivate, call timeouts, and decide what to do on fourth downs. I think motivation-wise, McDermott has been spectacular at that. And I don't want to lose sight of what this team went through and maybe why they did bow out, in a sense, kind of weak in the divisional round. This team really may have been one of those teams that just like, we needed a break. And Corey, me and you talked about it last week that if they would have won the Super Bowl, there would have been a documentary on this team of all the stuff went through and actually winning. I think I don't want to forget that as the offseason goes along.
That also doesn't mean you're good next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a valid excuse for why this year went the way it did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean your window gets an extra year bonus.
And it doesn't. But I still think the window's open. I think the window's open as long as the quarterback is there. I brought up Peyton Manning earlier in the show to talk about kind of like, we need to also look at Peyton Manning's early careers, and not necessarily with a magnifying glass, but kind of be realistic with ourselves. They were not in the playoffs every single year. I don't want to say a rather weak AFC, but ultimately when your quarterback's Peyton Manning, you should be in the Super Bowl at least once in your first 6-7 years, or at least make an AFC championship game. He didn't win his first playoff game until year six. He had a bad rookie year in terms of team success, went 13-3. Then they missed the playoffs his third year. I mean, like, it's not a linear path. We talk about like this linear path a lot, like in life as well. Like that everyone kind of wants to be on the same path. You know, you grow up, you go to school, you graduate at 18, you go off to college. After college, you immediately get a big-time job and you're off and racing. And within that period, you met your spouse and you're having kids. It's not how it works. And I think it's the same with Super Bowl windows and really sports in general. We talked about it as well with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes may be the most physically talented quarterback of all time. He has made 3 Super Bowls now. He has won once. And he's not even the favorite in this third one. He has made it to how many AFC championships? All of them at home. And he's only won 1 Super Bowl. It's not linear. Things can change. Things can get better. But with that being said, if things go poorly next year, there probably is changes. Because again, this team has now become marketable. The NFL likes the Bills. They're always on primetime, and Josh Allen is a face of the league, one of them. So if things go poorly, I would not stop, or I wouldn't hold my breath and think, no, they're not going to do anything. I think the Bengals would make changes because they probably know they have to make sure they can maximize the asset they do have. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show here on a Saturday. Nate Geary has the day off. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday with Zach Jones and Corey Griswold, and this is WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Final segment of the afternoon. Virginia Tech basketball has ruined my day. Good for them. Hope
Welcome
they're happy.
Aboard.
Hope they're happy. I said I'm back, baby. It's all flown back. Right. And I'm like, oh, this is why I took like 3 months off from this. Can't stand it. We were talking a little bit of Disney. I got a family.
What's this wee business?
Planning coming up. Like tonight.
It's never not funny that you have to do
and
that.
Like, I just, well, okay, I have to do that. I'm showing up. I'm okay. Going to be there. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to have a few beers.
Did you do your part of the presentation?
My part of the presentation is showing up and having a few jokes.
Okay.
That is my part of the presentation.
Okay. Is there a presentation?
It's very informal.
Okay. So there's not like someone setting up with a PowerPoint?
No. Just a lot of computers out, a lot of reservations being made, too many dates for me to keep track of. Here's the thing. So I'm going with 9 people.
Okay.
This trip is far less stressful than the one we went on last time, which was also 9 people.
Okay.
Because the last time we went was for a Disney wedding. Corey, I don't – like, you talked about the anxiety you get from watching, like, you know, broadcasts going to hell in a handbasket. Like, on – I was not part of the wedding. I was just family.
Yep.
But we all kind of went together. We're all very close.
Okay.
And the amount of anxiety I felt, this trip has been like – we're okay. We're all right.
That's great.
We're leaving in June, whatever. We're good. We're fine. I never want to experience that hell again.
How much planning does Disney do for you at the Disney wedding? Or are they just like, whoop, maybe let you stand
they
by
do,
a fountain?
No, they do quite a bit. They do quite a bit. So that was really nice. But now, like, obviously it's just a regular trip. So we're all essentially doing the planning ourselves, which is fine. Like, we're all Disney junkies. I grew up in a Disney family. Like, you know, we take a ton of trips. Very cost friendly as well, like from like just like little like podcasts and stuff that we all watch. So it's not the worst thing, and it's going to be something I'm going to do with my family. But man, I don't know why they invite me to these planning meetings. I offer nothing.
Not helping.
I offer absolutely nothing.
Listen, I know we're family. I'm also really bad at this.
Like, it's my thing. Like, I'm not – like, if you guys didn't invite me, I wouldn't be like, why, guys? And I'm not talking the trip. I need a vacation. I would like to go. But in terms of the planning meetings, I don't need to be there.
Right.
And I was joking to you. There's 9 of us. It's not a democracy. It is very much a tyrannical government.
That's right.
Between, like, 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't need to be there.
You getting fed?
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Come on. It's an Italian family.
Oh!
We're getting fed.
Buddy!
Yeah. Food is the main seller. But man,
they're all dinners. It's not a meeting. It's a dinner.
It's a dinner. It's very much a informal dinner of like, hey, everyone, just kind of show up. But like, I've got
you're not eating. Have you had something to eat? Come on, sit down. Here, get a plate.
I very specifically did not eat much today for the planning of this. But I will say this. So I've got this tonight, mm-hmm. which I was informed of this morning.
Ooh.
So I completely forgot.
Quick turnaround.
Quick turnaround. Boom. I also have family coming in tomorrow to hang out at my house, and like some of these guys I haven't seen in like 3 years outside of like a wedding.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, oh,
was it the Disney wedding?
No, it was a different wedding.
Okay.
A different family wedding. But like, I'm like, oh, the stories that are going to have to be told. Are you this person? Like, I get very stressed out when like a ton of extended family comes around because it feels like I'm going to have to like share a ton of stories. My humor, not necessarily family friendly, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be exhausting.
Oh, great. You're on the radio. Good for now, you tell me. 3 hours
exactly.
Into the show.
I know. But like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be exhausting. And like, I feel bad having that like anxiety building up, but like, I do so much better with like girlfriends' families than like my own. My own stresses me out.
Like, why? Because there's reputations at stake?
Reputations.
You're going to see him again?
Yeah, I'm going to definitely see them again.
Is that what it is?
I think, no, I don't know. It's something about it where it's like, it stresses me out. Where I'm like, I hope nothing goes bad. Because you know families as well. Like, there's like a little tension there.
Like, my
biggest fear is like the routine, like Thanksgiving dinner where like someone brings up a political opinion no one agrees with. And then like all hell breaks loose. Like, that is my hell.
This is why you got to throw down first. You got to establish dominance physically amongst your family.
Physically.
Physical dominance amongst your family members. So you can't be intimidated.
Well, I mean, that works for my dad's side of the family. I'm 6'3", and everyone else is like 5'8".
Perfect.
So that works. My mom's side of the family, not so much. I'm 6'3". My one uncle's like 6'7". He needs to stop that. He needs to calm down there. And my other uncle's like 6'1". Like, I'm like right in the middle. Like, I can't, no. I also have a bad back, so like I'm not really 24. I'm like 78.
You are an extremely old man. So you're complaining about losing a bet on Virginia Tech. You're talking about going to Florida for vacation, and you say you're just complaining about your back.
I also hate golf. Golf infuriates me. Not watching it, playing it. When the ball does not go dead center like I want it to.
You are perfectly paired with Bulldog.
This is true. This is very true.
Yep.
He's going to a golfing simulator. I am waiting for the review on it. I need to know.
Simulator?
If it's good, I need to know. Because I am so competitive, and I need my retirement sport.
Let's,
I need it.
Let's strap you into the simulator. See how you do.
I need to know what is wrong with my swing. I know it's everything, but like specifically tell me why it's everything.
It just starts flashing like a Looney Tunes cartoon at you.
It's all right. I'll deal with that. That is going to do it for Sports Talk Saturday. I want to thank, of course, our guests, Chris Trapasso and Matt Perino, for joining us today. Hopefully it gets warmer. I am so stressed to walk outside. I'm not looking forward to it.
It's going to be 41 tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's get it. That's a huge bonus. This has been Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary, of course, had the day off. Zach Jones and Corey Griswold carrying you the rest of the way. No Sabres game tonight, not till next Saturday. Our local programming returns on Monday with Howard and Jeremy. You've been listening to WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.